Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And I ask that you would bless the word spoken today, that it will go forth unhindered by any outside influence, and that it will be sown into the hearts and the minds of your children listening here today. And Lord, those that will actually listen on the internet, Lord, we thank you for those people that listen to this message, Lord, across the world. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that faith would arise and that signs would confirm the preaching of the word, because I'm expecting that great things will happen as a result of using the name of Jesus today. Amen. Amen. And the reason I did put that video up there today was because I want you to use your imagination. And you think, well, is that in the Bible? Well, it is. So let me just start, because I've called this message, I've entitled it, Don't Let Insecurity Hold You Back. But it's just not insecurity. There's so many things that hold us back. And so I'm just addressing a lot of things today, the things that are holding us back. And the key, I don't know if you know that the key to getting rid of all these things is actually repentance. So and even repentance is going to be the key for your breakthrough going forward. And I don't care if you feel suddenly totally innocent of what's happened in the past to you, it doesn't matter. Repentance is still the key. And so I'm going to show you that today. So let's just start by opening the scripture into Mark 4 and verse 17. I should have that up for you. And it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come. And that's what Jesus did. When Jesus came, the kingdom of heaven came with him. So this was the time that repentance was going to have its mark. And if you see this in the Amplified Scripture translation, it says this, from that time Jesus began to preach, crying out, repentance. And really what it means is, change your mind for the better. Heartily amend your ways with abhorrence from the past sins, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So repentance means to change your thinking. So things like shyness and rejection and those sort of things will not determine or control your actions. Because I'm going to address some things today where we can get free from shyness, free from rejection, free from insecurity, and simply by repentance, we can be free from those things. So repentance means to change our mind or change our thinking. To repent means to turn around completely and go the different direction. So when things have been holding us back, you know, it's because we've held on to them. See, if you're shy, you're a manifestation of thoughts that produce shyness in your life. So if you've got a shy nature, it's because of the thoughts of shyness produce that in your life. If you're rebellious, you're the manifestation of the thoughts that produce rebelliousness in your life. If you're insecure, you are the manifestation of the thoughts that live in you that make you insecure. All these things are generated by thoughts that live in us. If you're angry, you are the manifestation of thoughts that live in you that make you angry. And you talk to different people, oh, well, I'm, you know, a lot of Irish people, I'm an angry person because, you know, I come from an Irish descent or whatever, or a Scottish descent or whatever. They try and blame that back onto something that has caused them to be angry. But it doesn't matter what it is. You can't go and blame the past. You can't go and blame your parents or whatever it is, or your ancestors. It's you. We've got to take responsibility for this and change those things, those thought patterns. See, my actions are manifestation of the thoughts that produce those actions. Our thoughts are things that produce actions, both good and bad. So if we meditate on good things, then will produce good things. And it happens in the reverse as well. But I am responsible. You've got to get this today. You are responsible for your actions. That's your big thing. You are responsible for your actions. And so you can't go around and say, well, you know, it's my background that made me do that, or the hurt that I suffered. No, you've got to take responsibility for your actions. And that's part of your understanding about repentance. Well, I'm responsible. I then have to repent from these things. You know, when I was still in my last year of primary school, as a young boy, my parents moved us because of the ministry around a lot. So, we moved from a flourishing church in Perth to the backwater in Whyalla, South Australia, which was a hot, dry, dusty place. Whyalla means windy hole in the Aboriginal language, and it was exactly that. It was hot and windy, and there wasn't a lot to do in Whyalla. And so my brother and I, being bored and, thought we would come up with a superhero sort of thing between us, because, you know, you had a few comics and that was what you would look at. And so we decided that we would form this duo called the V8 Gang. Why the V8 Gang? Was simply because a boarder had bought us two belts that had V8s on them. And so that was what we had. And then someone who was really, really turned on with fashion had bought us green T-shirts. So we had the making of our superhero gang. And so we had the green T-shirts, the black shorts, and the V8 belt, which... and so it was interesting. So the name was born out of those things. And we kicked off with the super uniform that we had. And we'd dress up and we'd look in the mirror and think, well, we're out to get the bad guys, or we used to call them baddies in those days, because there was a lot of bad people living in Whyalla. And there was a fair bit of crime. And then we'd begin to plot the demise of those baddies in our neighborhood. And so I really took this to heart. I meditated this thing. And I had thoughts of, you know, being the superhero and going and saving people and doing things. And I was generally a bit braver than my older brother. He was a little bit timid in that area. And so if there was a fight between us, it was a hit by him and a run, you know, so because he knew I was going to get him. But so I was really determined that I was going to save somebody. Now, I wasn't a violent child at all. You know, being brought up in a Christian home, you know, I was born in church, taught to turn the other cheek and all those things, but I had this righteous, you know, sort of thing building up me that I was going to, you know, do the right thing. But I thought long and hard at what it would feel like to knock somebody out. That would consume me. What would it feel like when I was to punch somebody out who was doing something wrong? You know, because you'd see in the magazines, the comics, you know, pow, wham, you know, all these explosive things where the superhero would go in and do something and save the day. Well, what I thought about soon controlled my actions. Interesting what you give your thoughts to soon controls your actions. And one day, just after school, some boys were not far from my house, were throwing stones at my sister and a couple of girls, and my sister was hit in the head. Well, she came running in with blood on her head, and rather than tending to her, because my parents were home, the righteous indignation rose up in me, and I was out of the house. Didn't have time to change into my super uniform, you know, but it was still in me. And so I ran out, and the first boy that was there, I just whacked him a beauty. Now, the other three or four kids ran off, you know. But, you know, and I was a hero in my brother's eyes for 5 minutes. You know, that's about all. But he wanted to know what it felt like. What did it feel like to punch that guy out, you know? What did it feel like? And I felt justified in what I did. And I felt that I'd done my duty and protected him. But it's interesting, my thoughts were still controlling my actions at that point. And I look back and I see for the next 7 years, those still thoughts controlled my actions. And I had fight after fight at school. And I'm not happy to say this, but even as a young man, when we moved into Newcastle and had a youth group, there was two guys I punched out in the youth group. Great training for being a pastor, wasn't it? But, you know, it's like that had controlled me. Even though I was a controlled person, there were still those things in me, those thoughts had dogged me in this area. And, you know, I cannot fight anger by managing it. You can't fight those things by a management process. You probably remember that movie, Anger Management. Well, you can't use that to control. You've got to really go back to the root and repent from those thoughts. I can't fight insecurity and shyness by managing it. And many people do. You know, we go and we have these things and we say, okay, well, I'm going to do something different. A lot of people who can't speak publicly because of shyness will go and do a course on how to do that, and they will hold back, they'll push down those things, and they'll get out there and they'll start to talk, and still, when after they finish, they still feel as insecure. But they've managed to push it down and control it, put it into the back room in their life. It only gives them temporary relief from these things. And all the time, it comes back to haunt them. It comes back when they're not expecting this. This cloud comes over them again, and they go back into that same place. Believe it or not, I was quite insecure as a young man. And there were several things, looking back from my standpoint now, that contributed to that insecurity in my life. And the first thing that I can really put my finger on was in my first year of school. In, you know, we only went to grade one in Perth. There was no kindergarten or things like that. You didn't have daycare or whatever. It was straight into school. And there was this teacher, a big woman. And all I can remember, being so small, that she had hairy legs. And she was gruff she was a single woman, old. But she would lord it over me. And she brought that much fear to my life, I couldn't read. And so she caused me to, and so she would say, read that properly, you know, and I'd be skipping words, and I remember feeling so insecure. I had to fight with that for years. And that affected me, and it actually affected me for about 20 years, where I wouldn't want to read publicly and do things like that because of their insecurity, until I get to a point where, not even my parents, pastors of churches, didn't even think to help me in that area. They were so busy with what they were doing. And so another time, you know, being so-called taught to swim by my father, you know, was taken to Cottesloe Beach in Perth come on, you can come out here, and take me out and push me out in the deep and just let me go. You know, and the waves are coming in and trying to hold breath. Well, that gave me another great insecurity, you know. So one on top of another, and that I held that in. And the security, mother, I can swim really well. But at that point, it was really difficult. And another one, I was made, because my parents were the pastors in the church, I was made to get up and sing publicly, you know, in front of the 300, 400 people. Now, that to sing publicly... Now, I had a fairly good voice at that stage, you know, but I was made to sing publicly, bringing more things. And interesting, looking back, never been told that my father loved me. Now, he would preach great messages, but as a son, he never came and said. Now, he did that after we were married and after he'd, you know, had matured a lot of things. But when I look back, his father was a total ratbag as a father, who molested his sisters, and so he came through that. So I can't go and blame him for all those things. But these are things that we hold on to. These are things that we hold on to our life that make us insecure, that make us think. And the only way we're going to get over this is if we repent from those thoughts. Repent from those thoughts. See, Proverbs 23:7 says this: "For as a man, or as he thinks in his heart, so he is." As you think in your heart, that's how you are. You might look good on the outside, but as you think in your heart, that's what's going to really determine your actions. These are the thoughts that stand in our way. And they're just like that ball and chain around our foot, reminding us that we'll never achieve much in life. That's good, Daniel. So we're never going to really achieve much in life because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's interesting. Do you know that you were never born shy? You were never born insecure? You were never born rejected? You're never born angry? When you were born, you were completely open as a child. You received love, you gave it, you were unashamed in any area. You didn't care about if you cried or what happened. You know, you didn't care because you weren't born with those things in your life. So somewhere between that early age and where you are now, those things entered and they came by thoughts. Now, they could have come from bad parenting. It could have come from your environment, from your upbringing, experiences, but whatever it is, they've come, but they should not long be in your life anymore. It's time to change those things. You know, Romans 12 and verse 1 says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all He has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." The way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. There has to be something that changes our thinking. It's got to be something that changes the way we think. You know, John 8 and verse 32 says this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See, it's the truth that you know, the truth you understand, the truth about this area that's going to make you free. You know, many people come to salvation and think that everything's going to be changed at salvation. It just doesn't happen. We have to be renewed in our mind. We've got to be transformed in the thinking, the way we think. The way we think is the key to your breakthrough. And back to this verse again in Matthew 4 and verse 17, "Repent, change your mind for the better, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Change your mind for the better. See, most people think they don't need to repent from shyness or from insecurity or from rejection because they didn't cause it. See, people think they've only got to repent from things that they've caused. So when it's come from an outside source, it's easier to say, well, that's my shyness, it's my insecurity, it's my rejection, and they don't think they need to repent from it, but you have to repent. You've got to repent from being angry. You weren't born angry. These things come by circumstances. You know, sometimes they're so well hidden, we don't even realize that they're there or realize that still it's an issue because we live so long with them and because they've become a defining part of you. Oh, that's just his or her nature. That's just how they are. And we begin to accept that as the status quo in our life, that that's our sort of person that we are. We're a shy nature. We have an insecurity. We don't make friends well. We're slow to do these things because that's just the nature of, but that's not how God created us. And we make excuses for that. And those that we're closest to begin to accept that and cover for you. They cover those things because they try, when you are attracted to someone, you're normally attracted to the opposite of you. So a shy person normally is attracted to an outgoing person. And so together they sort of cover for each other. But behind closed doors, when those things come out, they're actually ugly because they're not right. They're not from God. and it needs repentance to get free from those things. And you might be saying, well, look, we're all adults here today. Well, we are. But there are so many, you know, children in adults' body because we're still locked in to that area where we were back 30, 40, 50 years ago. And it's held us, how it's have us locked up in the area. We can never break free. We can never really be who God wants us to be until we deal with those things. See, it comes out of a wounded spirit, full of emotional baggage that we carry around. And it holds us back. It's like we're trying to walk through life with that ball and chain on ourselves, never quite getting it. We feel great some days, and we run for a few meters until that thing slows us down again. And it's like we can never break free of those things that have held us back. You know, Proverbs 23 and 7 says this again, for as he thinks in his heart, in our heart, right in that innermost area is how you really think. Not is what you're speaking about, what you're not showing to different people, it's what you do. See, the word think actually means gatekeeper. That inside of you will let your thoughts that are consistent with what you already think rule you and keep others out. See, it's the gatekeeper. That as you think is the gatekeeper. So you will allow things to come in and that gatekeeper will say, no, you're insecure. Or no, you're rejected. So it will keep out things that and stops the good coming in and only allows those thoughts of rejection or whatever it is that's ruling you. So the good and bad of that. Because if I have shyness or rejection in my heart, then I'll let thoughts of shyness and rejections and thoughts that are conducive to what my thought process is come in. Because I'm familiar with those things. And I'll allow them to come in. And I'll reject other things that tell me that I'm not shy. Tell me that I haven't been rejected. And you always go back to those places where that's where I'm secure in. That's what I know in my heart. That's how I respond. See, it doesn't matter how many counseling sessions you go to, nothing changes. Oh, you've had people that had great counseling. But unless you come to repentance, nothing changes. See, when someone suggests to you that you go and witness to somebody on the street and you're shy, you say, not me. That's not what I'm called to do. The Bible says we're all called to be his witnesses. But so many people say, no, my ministry is going to be to the friendly people in the church. We're all called to be witnesses. You know, I've been showing you the stories that people have. You're all going to have a story to tell. But the reason why God's giving you a story so that you can tell the others, look at what great things God's done for me. But shyness has held us back. Insecurity, rejection, all these things, and you hide behind that wall, and it's time to bring that wall down. The only way you do it is by repentance. You know, when you go and do these things, people get into cold sweats because of the fear of those sort of things that are holding them back, and it's a stronghold which is not easily broken. So you can imagine the thoughts that produce these sort of words. I'm going to read some words. Just think about the thoughts that produced these sort of words. Who is your servant that you should show great kindness to a dead dog like me? Now that's in the Bible. Here's somebody in the Bible who was shown great kindness, and what came out of his mouth? Why would you show me kindness to a dead dog like me? Here's a grown man that allowed circumstances to dictate his future. When God wanted to show him mercy and grace, it was hard for him to accept. That man was Mephibosheth, who you've probably heard of, who was David's best friend, Jonathan's son. So Mephibosheth, as a baby, when Saul and Jonathan were killed, the maid took the baby Mephibosheth and fled from the palace. The reason she fled was it was common thought in those days because of the heathen nations that if a new king came to power, any descendant of the previous king would be put to death, so there could be no way down the future that that child could come up and say, well, I'm rightfully an heir. I'm rightful to the throne. So everyone would be cut off. And so that's what was in fear for her, for that child. So as she ran from the temple, she fell, and the little baby became crippled in both feet, and so lived its life as a cripple. So he grew up with thoughts of rejection, insecurity, abandonment, and on top of the fact that he was a cripple. See, most cripples in that day were beggars. The only way they could get something was to go out and beg on the street. So he had a beggar mentality as well. So complete was Mephibosheth's repentance at this time when David came to him. You can see the complete turnaround. He got restored and he actually got married. So Mephibosheth got married. We pick it up in 2 Samuel 9 and verse 11, and it says there, and from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. From then on, all the members of Ziba's household, which were servants to Saul, were Mephibosheth's servants. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. He was restored. Repentance came to him. He could realize that he wasn't a rejected person. And he restored. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to take us to a place where no longer the thoughts of the past hold us back. And no longer do we stay as somebody at the back of a place called Lodibar, where there's just hurts and just memories of those sort of things. See, we need to break all the chains that have been holding us back from our calling. Because what God wants to do in our midst, in your life, is amazing. But we can't be held back any longer by these things. See, you are to be sons of God. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And unfortunately, for most people, these things don't become new at salvation. They're not all made new. We accept part of that, but because we haven't fully repented from these things, we still hold these things. You know, the problem is, how do I do that? How do I break the chains of shyness? How do I break insecurity? How do I break rejection? How do I break anger? And you do that by what I call using your imagination. See, we do that because imagination is God-given to us. It's the way that we meditate on those thoughts and change those thoughts. You start by imagining, what's it going to be like when I'm no longer insecure? What's it going to be like when I'm no longer feeling rejection? What's it going to be like when I no longer feel angry at every situation? What will it feel like? And so we have to go to a place where we can, okay, I'm going to repent from this, and what's it going to be like? You know, a great example that I heard some time ago was like having a pair of very powerful binoculars that would see such a long distance. And when you get those binoculars up and you see that long distance, it's like you can focus on something that might be a mile or two away and then bring it right into view where it's very big. And it's such a far away, when you take the binoculars down, it's hard to even see what it is, but those binoculars can bring it right into view. And so you can get those binoculars and take them out and in. And so what's a great thing is to do is to picture that area in your life that you want to deal with. And it might just say it's shyness or insecurity. And you take the picture of you as a shy person, which is the old nature. See, the old man, the old nature, is that's how it is. And that old nature should be put to death. It should be buried with Christ. As he was put to death, that's the sort of things we should be put to death, and we do that by repentance. We put them to death So you take that old nature, if it's shyness or repentance, and you put them on that binoculars and you send them out as far away as you can till you can no longer see what that shyness looks like. And you get up the shield of faith. And you hold that in one hand and you bring that shyness or that rejection back at 1,000 miles an hour up to where you can see it fully against that shield of faith. And it slams up against that shield of faith. And it falls on the ground. You pick it up again and you send it right back again. You say, I'm sitting it right out there where it has no right, I can't see it anymore acting in my life. And you keep bringing up against the shield of faith. You've got no right to be here. And you keep doing it until the shyness or rejection or anger or whatever it is a crumbled mess on the ground. You say, Holy Spirit, get the angels to take that into the pit of hell. That's where all sin has gone. That's where all those things have gone. I want them out of my life. They've got no right to be in my life anymore. I'm no longer do I have to be a slave to those things anymore because they've been dealt with on the cross, but I'm now redoing them through repentance and through my imagination, getting them out of my life. They have no right to be in here because God's called me to do greater things. And what that'll do, that will get you to a place where shyness, rejection, anger, insecurity, whatever it is you're fighting, has no power in your life anymore. Oh, it might come again, but what you do is give it the treatment again. You get the binoculars out. You get the imagination working. Say, I've done this before. I'm going to send you out there where I can't see you anymore. You're going to come against my shield of faith, and you're going to be destroyed. And every time it comes again, give it the treatment. Give it the spiritual treatment and change your thinking because God has made you to be an overcomer. God has made you to be victorious, not one that's been limited by those things in the past because they held us back. God is calling us to a place right now where we can do great things for Him and we can't be held back by these things any further. It's time that we deal business with these things. And you might have had temporary relief in the past, but I believe God's brought you to a place today where you're going to start to give these things the harsh treatment in your life. Give no place for these things anymore. It's held you back too long. It's time to deal with it. And I want to give you that opportunity as we stand today, or stand with me. We're going to sing a song, and I want to give you an opportunity for you to just ask the Lord to forgive you for that and give it the treatment. Give it the treatment and say, you no longer have rule in my life. Those thoughts are no longer going to rule my life. See, they're not great sins, but these are thoughts that held us captive. That's what it is. We're not dealing with great sins of immorality and things like that. These are things, but see, sometimes it's easier to deal with those things. But these thoughts that have come in, that have controlled our life, that we've kept down, these are thoughts that we've got to deal with. We do them through repentance. Stand with me this morning. And we're just going to, I've got a song for you to play there, so if you could play that. And if that's you, you want to deal with that, simply we can do it where you're standing. But if you also want a touch, you want a healing touch on your life, I would encourage you to come out for that as well. Let's just worship the Lord.